Praise the Lord. We have a lot to be grateful for. You know, the enemy's wanting us to look at everything that's broken and wrong and empty and what didn't happen, what could have, should have, you know. But let's take a look at what God is doing and all the good that he's doing in our lives and every day. His mercies, amen, and his mercies anew every morning, amen. As we were praying this morning, we said, you know, we're just going to hit the reset on yesterday. Amen. It's done. It's under the blood. Hallelujah. Can't go back and revisit that place. Amen. But you can hit the reset button and start, amen, your journey forward from right here and right now. Amen. God says to forget about the past. Forget about what happened then. Don't dwell on those things. Amen. Get your eyes on the prize. Amen. Jesus is the one who's waiting at the end. And he invites you to come, to follow him. And he will lead you into all truth. Hallelujah. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad that you came. Are you glad you came? Yes. Amen. You're supposed to say that so I feel good right now. I know you are. Hallelujah. You know, I look forward to these times with you. Just with people of like precious faith, brothers and sisters who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I'm not the guy I used to be, that's for sure. He is the bondage breaker, isn't he? Hallelujah. He can set any captive free. And, you know, God is not limited, but sometimes we limit him with our unbelief. You know, if we don't believe God's big enough, that God's capable of, well, it's not going to happen. Amen. But I believe God is capable of doing anything. How about you? I mean, absolutely anything. I think the creator of all the universe, of everything that there is, who spoke everything into existence, is capable of doing anything. I want to talk about praise this morning as a starter. The power of thanksgiving and praise. The title is The Power of Thanksgiving and Praise. And simply stating, praise is communicating. It's communicating who God is, what he has done, and what he can do. You know, we acknowledge who he is. Oh, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by thy, you know, outstretched arm. There's nothing too difficult for you. Amen. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. You know, we're worshiping the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And El Elyon is his name. And why do we praise God? Because God deserves it. Simply, right? He deserves it. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy wants to get us into unbelief, and he wants to get us into focusing on just, again, what's broken and what's wrong and what's bad around us so that we will miss out on God's goodness. You know, we are surrounded by God's goodness as his people. How many believe that when Jesus said the Father has us in the palm of his hand, that he actually meant that? Yes. Amen. I believe Jesus meant every word he spoke. Amen. Because he was the truth. He never told a lie. So we're not to fear. We're not to worry about the future, about anything, because God has us. Praise comes from the Latin word meaning value or price. So to give praise to God is to proclaim his merit or worth. So praise must originate from our hearts, amen? And it's not just a mere outward show, all right? And by the way, when we're praising the Lord, amen, even in the house when we gather together, amen, we should not be worried about what Joe, sorry, Joe, I know you're here today, but what Joe is doing over there or what Sally's doing over here, right? But we need to be focused on the Lord, amen. I know some people come in and they're just examining everybody else around them to find out who the hypocrites are and, you know. But how many know that the best place for a hypocrite to be is in church? Gathering together, amen. As you've heard it said, it doesn't keep you from going to the grocery store, right? A hypocrite won't stop you from going and buying food, amen. How about coming together and gathering God's people, amen? And we'll leave that up to God. God knows the hearts of all people. And we are imperfect judges, amen, but he's the perfect judge. So what we want to do is we want to live authentically the Christian life, and we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we're just trying to act like a Christian, then we are being a hypocrite. Even if you're doing everything right, you're still a hypocrite if you're just acting it. It's not who you act like, it's who you become as the Lord does a work of transformation in the hearts of us. Amen. In Matthew 15:8, the Bible says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, under the old covenant, people could only honor God with their lips because they did not have the Spirit. Amen. Their hearts were not changed. They were still in Adam. And so naturally, man is incapable of worshiping God acceptably. That's why Jesus said those who, you know, come to the Father must, first of all, believe he is, right? But we must worship the Father in what? Spirit and in truth. For the Father's looking for such. So we can't worship God from your intellect or from your head. Amen. But you can worship God in the Holy Spirit if you're born of the Holy Spirit. If you are a child of God, amen, you are reconnected to your Father, and then you can sincerely, authentically worship God in spirit. Amen. You have communion with him in the Spirit. You have communication, true communication with God in the Spirit, but you must be born again in order to experience or know that. But under the old covenant, they can only give God lip service. Yeah. And so they thought they were righteous because they did righteous things. But the Lord pointed out that they weren't righteous because they did a righteous thing. But their hearts were still a mess. Amen. And only God can change the heart. And so that's why we need to surrender our lives to the Lord, the only one that can change us. And set everything in order in our lives. Singing praise. Why do we do this? Because, first of all, God deserves it, but also it draws his presence into our lives. Amen. God is attracted to those who are attracted to him. God will show up where he's invited, where he's wanted. Amen. When we're giving God authentic praise and thanksgiving, God will show up. Amen. So what we want to do is we want to have an encounter with God. Amen. Rather than just do a service. You know, we can come together and do a service and never really encounter God. In fact, some people just expect some kind of thing when they come, you know. But God wants our hearts and we want him. And that's why we're here today. Amen. Because we want him. We want to know him better. And God knows those who are really hungry and thirsty and seeking for him. And he will meet the hungry heart. Amen. The humble heart will be filled. Now, at the dedication of Solomon's temple, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. But people offered sacrifices to the Lord. In verse 6, it says also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for a multitude. This is at the dedication of the temple, you know, that they'd spent so much time and extravagance in building. And now comes the time where they're going to dedicate it. And there were so many sacrifices. Can you imagine? These are blood sacrifices that they could not even number the amount of animals that were slain. This was definitely a sacrifice as Solomon being so wealthy. But Solomon was giving something sacrificially to the Lord. And what are the sacrifices that are acceptable today? You see, we have to fast forward to today, don't we? Because this is where we live. This is our reality. And that was then. But Jesus came, amen, as the Lamb of God. Amen. And once and for all, amen, he has taken care of the sin problem. He became our sacrifice. Amen. And so we don't have to continually offer blood sacrifices because it was done once and for all by our great high priest, the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ. So what are, well, first of all, our bodies, right? The Bible says in Romans 12, 1, we are to present what? Our bodies back to God. That means if you're giving God your body, you're giving him your whole thing, your life. Amen. If he has your body, amen, he has, that means you, because why is that? Because you are in charge of your body. So if you're giving him your body, amen, it means it comes with your soul and your spirit too, right? And how about a sacrifice that we just talked about, a sacrifice of praise? That is the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13 and 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer what? The sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So how do we offer sacrifices today? By presenting ourselves, our lives back to God, amen, and offering praise, offering thanksgiving, amen, the fruit of our lips to our God. So these are the spiritual sacrifices that God accepts. How about the sacrifice of our possessions? How about our service to the Lord? How about good works? Does God want good works from his people? Amen. Yeah, we know we're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. Amen. So good works are also sacrifices, amen, that God is pleased with. So at the dedication of Solomon's temples, or the temple, the priests had sanctified themselves. That means they had set themselves aside. Today, we need to also set ourselves apart for the Lord as his vessels, as his people. That means we are to keep ourselves clean. We're to keep ourselves holy because we today have become his temple. Amen. And God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. So therefore, we must guard ourselves against defilement, against anything of the world that would contaminate, amen, God's temple. For his temple is holy and to be kept holy, amen. My responsibility is to behave myself by relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, to control what I do in my body. Come on, somebody. Amen. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It doesn't give us a license to sin. It gives us the power over sin. Amen. So we can live a life that honors God. We're God's temple. Praise brings God's deliverance, his delivering power. People are set free in a worship service. Amen. That is spirit filled. Amen. Simply because they are, praise is toxic to the devil. And when you begin to sing and give God praise, amen, the devil hates it. That's why he's always trying to interfere. In fact, he tries to get even inside your head, amen, to distract you during the time when we're praising corporately, amen, the Lord. Yeah, because your deliverance comes from the Lord, because God inhabits the praises of his people. Therefore, when we're corporately praising God and our eyes are upon him, he releases his anointing, and it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, amen, that breaks the yoke of the oppressor, that sets the captives free. God wants his people free, amen, from all infestation of the enemy. Amen. We are not to be bound by anything and by any devil. Amen. God wants his people free indeed. And so as we give God praise, hallelujah, he inhabits the praise, amen, that we offer to him. And you don't have to just do it on Sunday, amen. You sing throughout your day to the Lord, amen, and you keep your heart clear, amen, of infestation. You keep your mind clear, amen, of the tormentor who wants to get in there and mess with your head, mess with your mind, amen. Remind you of all your failures, amen. Remind you of all the hard things you've gone through in life and try to get you into a pity party, amen. God says, get out of that, amen, and get into me. In me you'll find rest for your soul. In me you'll find joy, amen. And it's a joy that the world can't give you. It's a supernatural joy, and that joy will be your strength. Hallelujah. God wants joyful saints, amen. He wants joyful people, and the true joy is a joy that Jesus gives, amen. Not the world's joy. Their version is temporary and is conditional, amen, upon everything being such that my life isn't perfect place. I don't know about you, but I've never found real joy in the world. I've never found real peace in the world. I've never found authentic love in the world except in God's people that really knew Jesus. Today, as a born-again believer, we are that royal priesthood. Amen? And we are to be set apart for the Lord. So at the dedication of the temple, the people, first of all, they set themselves apart. The priests set themselves apart for the Lord. Amen. And then they begin to do what? Praise and thank the Lord as one. That means they're all together in on this. You know, you can look out on a Sunday morning and you can see some people that are in the river. Other people are maybe splashing in the kiddie pool, sampling a little bit. And some people are completely out. They're in the marshy places, you know, the salt lands, you know. And God says, what are you doing there? Come in. Come in. The water is fine. You'll receive a blessing. But you got to get past you, and you got to be able to trust God, amen, with your whole being. How many know when you're worshiping God in spirit, it means you're worshiping him from your heart? And when your heart is really into it, amen, you're going to express yourself. If you're at a football game and you're really into that team, amen, your heart's really rooting for that team, you're going to give them your best praise. How many know that God deserves higher praise than a football game? Amen. So in verse 13, 2 Chronicles 5:13, it says, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, the cymbals, instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy, what? Endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. What does the cloud represent? The very manifest presence of God, the glory of God. Amen. And it was such an intense visitation of God. In verse 14, it says, the priests could not continue ministering. They were so whacked because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, how important is praise? How important is that? Because, again, guys, it is one of your most powerful spiritual weapons. It's toxic to the enemy. You know, if we would just learn how to get our praise on when we're going through it. And a sacrifice of praise is when I'm not necessarily feeling it, but I know it's what I need to do right now. And I need to get out of my own head, out of my own problems, and I need to get into God where there are no problems and where I'm going to find peace and stability. And I'm going to get some instruction, amen, that's going to help me on my journey. Because God's not going to speak to you until you stop wallowing in the mire, amen? He's not going to start speaking to you until you stop fretting about your situation. And you start looking to him and say, Lord, but what do you say? I hear what the news says. I hear what the doctor says. But Lord, what do you say? Amen. Praise ushers in the glory of the Lord. And so that means in our hearts as well, where we find ourselves, we should be praising the Lord. Guys, I'm no different than anybody else. I have my moments. I have my times, my struggles. I have things that happen in my life too. You know, I have heaviness that comes at times. But I learned that if I would just shake it off. Are you hearing me? What was his name? Larry Seymour would say, get your ugly praise on. Break out of that funk. Get out of your head. Get out of yourself. Amen. And begin to focus on the Lord and begin to cry out to the Lord. How many know calling on the Lord is actually an audible cry or a shout to pierce the ears? Did you know that? Calling on the name of the Lord was something that was audible. Oh, yeah. It's okay to whisper a prayer in the morning, guys, but this is a time when we need to lift up a shout. Amen. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Because the devil hates it. That's why we do it. Because the Lord is worthy of it. And because it's toxic to the devil. And it brings God's delivering power into my life. And I can praise my way out of any funk that the enemy tries to put on me. And I can find myself breaking through into that realm of the river, if you will, or the very presence of God, where there is a supernatural peace, amen, that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. I can't really explain it, can you? We just have to taste and see and know that God is good, amen. Hallelujah. So instead of watching somebody else get blessed, why don't you start practicing praise, amen? And start getting outside of your head and getting into the realm of the Holy Ghost. That means you need to praise through until you get into the realm of the Holy Spirit. And it's in that place where you're going to get your sight. You're going to get your orders. You're going to begin to hear and know the heart and the will of God. Amen. In the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So that's why sometimes we just need to take the time. Amen. To worship and praise the Lord until we get into that place where there is that shalom, that peace of God. You know, sometimes we're just doing an outer court worship time, you know. There was three chambers of the temple, remember. Right? There was the outer court, the inner court, and then the most holy place. Well, we want to worship God in the most holy place, amen. But sometimes we're going to find ourselves just kind of like, we're just having a little sing-along. Sometimes, you know, for some people, praise and worship is just a karaoke time, you know, where we get along, have a sing-along on Sunday morning. Amen. But really what we're doing is we're coming before his presence with singing. We're entering into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You see, that is the password. If you have a heart of gratitude, amen, the Lord will welcome you with open arms, amen, into his presence. But if you got all this attitude going on, it ain't going to happen. You can watch other people get blessed, but you're not until you repent of your stinking thinking and your attitude that's not good. Amen. And just say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've been. I'm sorry because I blamed you for things the devil has done. Amen. Or because I haven't understood you. How many know that God is smarter than we are, wiser than we are? He's more loving than we are. Come on. His love is beyond us. For God so loved the world. He demonstrated that, didn't he? For you and I, when we're enemies, Christ died. Because God loved you that much. He was willing to go all the way to the cross for you. When Moab, Ammon, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir conspired to wage war against Judah, those are God's people. Amen. Victory came through a song. Here it is. I know this is one of Patty's favorites. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to do what? To seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And verse 22, moving down. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. When they did what? They began to sing and to praise. The Lord set ambushes. The Lord defeated their enemies. How about Paul and Silas in the New Testament? All right, at midnight, Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were being a witness even in that dark place. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, and that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains, I love this, everyone's chains were loosed, because two decided that they're going to have a praise service. Amen. And they got their praise on. Hallelujah. And the Lord intervened supernaturally, shook that place up, loosened all their chains. Hallelujah. The early church understood the importance of praising God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, for continuing daily with one accord in the temple. How often? And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so each case, we see the correlation between praising God and the manifest presence, the glory of God. Amen. Praise and the glory. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important, guys, that we really understand the value, amen, of being together, of gathering and praising, amen, and singing to the Lord, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, amen, because it's going to bring you into a place of deliverance, of healing, of rest in the Spirit. How many know that the Lord can protect you from going crazy? Amen. His presence can do that. Hallelujah. He is our peace. He is a supernatural peace. I thank God for the presence of the Lord in my life. Amen. And I thank God that he's always there, that I can call upon him anytime. Amen. And there's times, guys, where I just need to shout the name of Jesus. I shout the name of Jesus, and it's like the chains of the enemy break off. Hallelujah. And I'm released. And I find myself in that realm of the Spirit. All of a sudden, I'm just like, you're there, right? You know what I'm talking about? You're there in that peace, that supernatural peace. And now I can settle down and say, Father, what do you say? What do you want to say to me? So we see a correlation between praising God and the glory of God. King David was also some known as the singing warrior. And David knew praising the Lord would lift him above his circumstances and above his enemies. Amen. Praising the Lord is one of our most powerful weapons. Ephesians 5:18. How many know this by heart? Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What are we supposed to be doing? Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, right? Also what? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. giving thanks. See, we got to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a connection, and I've used this many times, but between thanksgiving and authentic praise. All right, we're moving into thanksgiving. I like to say it this way. Thanksgiving produces genuine praise. Praise brings his presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. So from praise, amen, presence to joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. You go from thanksgiving to praise, amen, his presence, the joy, and then the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you understand? This is our spiritual act of worship. This is how we delight the Lord, as we give him thanks and give him praise. Why? Because we're acknowledging his goodness. We're recognizing his goodness. We're recognizing his faithfulness. We acknowledge who he is. We know that he's Almighty God, amen, and that we were created for him. Amen. Mankind was created for God. If man does not worship God, he's living dysfunctionally. He's living outside of his purpose. And praise is calmly. Praise is good. Isn't it? I love getting together with you all and just having a time to sing and to praise the Lord. And amen. It just lifts me up above my enemies. It lifts me up above my own situation, my own problems, amen, my own circumstances. And that's what David had learned. That whenever he was overwhelmed with stuff, amen, he would just praise his way out of that and find his rest in the Lord. It was the Lord. Come on, you think you have problems? Look at David's life, amen. This guy had some massive problems, man, but he had a God on his side. And he knew the Lord was there and he could be trusted, amen. And he would call on him often. And David wrote all kinds of psalms and all kinds of songs. Created all kinds of instruments, too, for music. But we are to give thanks, verse 20, always for all things. For what? All things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we go from thanksgiving to strength in the Lord, because the Lord is the strength of my life. He's the strength of our lives, isn't he? Hallelujah. There's a connection between thanksgiving and joy. And I like to always touch on this. I'm not going to get too far off into this today. Amen. Because I want to open it up for a little while here for us to be able to share among ourselves. Okay. But the Feast of Tabernacles was known as the Feast of Ingathering, the Harvest Feast. It was, in a sense, it was their Thanksgiving Day, the Jewish Thanksgiving Day. Amen. So they would gather in Jerusalem and they would bring the fruits of their harvest of the year. And they would specifically give thanks to God on this occasion, amen, for all of his blessings. And also, Tabernacles was known as the Feast of Joy. It was the ingathering feast, but it was also what? The Feast of Joy. God said that during this feast, they were to rejoice before the Lord 7 days. That's from Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 40. They were to do what? Rejoice before the Lord 7 days. So this was supposed to be a joyful occasion. The connection here is thanksgiving and joy. All right? So why is that important? At Tabernacles, the priests, along with a multitude of people, would go down from the Temple Mount to the Pool of Siloam. All right? And he would draw water, and then he would ascend back up to the Temple Mount, and he would pour the water out on the Temple Mount, and he would recite Isaiah 12:3. How many remember this? Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from what? The wells of salvation. That word salvation is Yeshua, who is speaking of who? Jesus, amen, who is our salvation. And in the Gospel of John, remember, it was when Jesus was attending the same feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, he stood up and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. This was all pointing to Jesus, amen. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So again, they were to bring an offering of the fruit of their harvest of the year on this occasion at Tabernacles. Amen. Likewise today, amen, we are living in the new covenant. Amen. And today we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Can you remember what they are? The first one we've been talking about, right? It's offering thanksgiving, isn't it? And offering praise to God, the fruit of our lips. It's offering our bodies back to God. Amen. It's giving of our possessions. It's helping others out. Amen. Blessing others with what God has blessed us with. It's giving God our bodies back. Amen. Also for his service. Amen. That is a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. How many believe that every child of God should be serving the Lord? Amen. Amen. Because that pleases the Lord. How do we say thank you? How do we love God back? By giving ourselves back to him. Worship is more than just singing songs. It's my life dedicated back to God to live the rest of my life for Jesus. Amen. So we're not to come empty-handed when we come before the King. Amen. When we come before God. But God desires fruit. And fruit is our way of saying thank you for saving me and helping me. Amen. What can I do for you, Lord? You've done so much for me. Lord, what can I do for you? John 15:8. How many know this one? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What kind of fruit are we talking about here? We're talking about fruit of saved souls. Amen. Of lost people coming to Jesus because of our witness. The fruit of good works, again, done in his name, according to his will. The fruit of blessing others. You and I have the ability in Christ, amen, to bless. We can bless others. We can bless children. We can bless one another. We can speak blessings, amen, by the Holy Spirit. And God imparts blessings through his people because we are a priesthood, a royal priesthood in the new covenant. Amen. Israel of old, amen, was a nation of priests. Today, we are that nation, amen, of priests. Jew and Gentile brought together in Christ, one new man. Amen. The fruit of blessing, the fruit of our lips again. And what, how about the fruit of our testimony, sharing our testimony, sharing our story with others? Amen. I offer my life back to the Lord. So again, we're supposed to live our lives in such a way that in the day we see Jesus, we'll have much fruit to present to him. We don't want to be empty handed. Amen. We want to have something to offer back to the Lord out of gratitude. God has made an investment in every one of us who is born of his Spirit. Amen. God has given us certain abilities. He's given us giftings and callings. Amen. And so we need to be faithful with whatever he's entrusted to us. Amen. Because we are a steward over his possession that he's entrusted to us. So the gift of God is God's actually his property. It's his investment in us, so that we would take the gift and trade with it, that we will use our gift, amen, to produce fruit, good fruit, that would bring pleasure to the Father. Everyone who is born again has a gift. You have ability that God has given you, amen. So there's amazing power in thanksgiving. How many know that grumbling and complaining is the opposite of thanks? The devil wants to get us caught up in a critical, complaining spirit. I'm going to go into this. Some people are very upset about the election results. How about let's just focus on the good that came out of the election? Otherwise, you're always going to be able to find something that's messed up when you're looking at the world. Why? Because the world is made up of broken people. Amen. So we live in a broken world. Amen. What we want to do is find the Lord in the midst of all this. Yeah. Otherwise, we're just going to get caught up in that funk and we're going to be depressed. And because we're what? We got wrong focus. God wants us to think on things that are true and lovely. Good report, right? God wants us to think on things above, amen, where Christ is. God wants us to see what he is doing actually in the midst of things that don't seem to make sense. But how many know that God has a plan in all this, that God is at work in all of this? And God is really taking an eye and looking at his people right now. He's got his eye on his church in America, and he wants his church awake. He wants his people out of the world, amen, and committed to him as a faithful bride, amen, who's not cheating and having other gods before him. He's looking for a church, amen, that is going to be loyal to him. And so if his church is not in that place where it needs to be, God can allow things and turn the heat up, amen, to get us to where we need to be so that he can now bless us, because he won't bless us as long as we're not in the right position to be blessed. As you've heard it said, God won't bless a mess. So God wants to bring his people to a place of repentance, to where we're not waiting on somebody else to do the work. We're saying, I'm going to get involved in this myself. I'm going to pray myself. I'm not waiting for Joe over there to pray this in. Amen. I'm going to join with Joe, and we're going to pray together and see God's kingdom come and God's will be done in America. God is turning things around, and God can continue, amen, to redeem America. Amen. Because God is really wanting this nation to be saved. But we have to quit just running after the temporary things of this world and getting distracted by lesser things. And we need to focus our priorities, amen, on what God is doing right now, joining, partnering with God in his will, his mission here in America. You and I are ambassadors for Christ, amen. We have been called and anointed and appointed for such a time as this. And God is saying, step out in my name, and I will confirm my word with accompanying signs. God's looking for those who are going to raise up, amen, like Elijah did, amen, and they're going to destroy, amen, the works of Satan, hallelujah, in this country. Do you know that God wants to destroy Satan's works, and he wants to do it through you? And he wants to do it, first of all, in you, amen? He wants to destroy and topple every idol that might be in our heart, everything that we've set up in our hearts that takes the place of God in our hearts. God does not want that for his people, amen? If God has to take the toys away, he will do it. Because he is jealous for you. He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to be lost, amen, and caught up in this world. Are you hearing me? He doesn't want his people living as an enemy of God, an enemy of the cross. God will chasten, discipline his people. That's why, guys, it's important that every one of us get on board with this. Amen. Every one of us join and partner with Jesus. Why? Because what happens to this nation is going to affect us. And if we don't stand up, amen, now, while we have the opportunity, while God is calling us to, the opportunity can slip us by. And America can continue to go downward. But God has placed the key in our hands. He's given us the authority in his name. He's given us the ability to bind and to loose. Whatever he's binding in heaven, we can bind on earth. Amen. Whatever he's loosing in heaven, we can loose on the earth. We need to know the heart, the mind, the will of God. Partner with him in that will. Amen. And whatever you pray according to the will of God, you know that he will hear you, and you know that he will answer that prayer. But God's looking for not just a handful. He's looking for his church in America to wake up. Amen. To get out of lukewarmness and complacency and apathy and wake up. God, wake us up. I often pray, Lord, wake me up. Wake me up inside. Lord, I don't want to fall asleep. I don't want to be sleeping on the job. Amen. We need to be about our Father's business. You and I have been given the authorization in his name to go and be world changers. We can change things, amen, in our society, beginning in our own homes, beginning in our own lives, amen, in our communities. The church has the power, has the authority in Jesus' name to make a difference. The devil's after your faith. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to get you to look at everything that's broken, everything that's wrong, and everything that didn't happen. Because he's into demoralization. He wants to demoralize you. He wants to steal your morale so that you just, it looks hopeless, so why bother? Why get out and vote? Because it's not going to make any difference. I've heard people say that. Are you kidding? That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, is not do anything. You see, if we quit doing what God's called us to do, the enemy by default will take America down. But you and I have been given the ability, the authorization in Jesus' name to make a difference in our world where we live, in our circle of influence, in our homes. Quit looking at what the enemy's doing. Start looking at Jesus, amen, what he's doing. Partner with him in that. Hallelujah. Because you can have joy in the midst of all this. God wants us to have joy in the midst of all this. God does not want his people gloomy. He doesn't want us gloomy because, oh, look what they're doing over there. Are you hearing me? Once in a while, I need to slap myself too, you know. So get out of that. Have you ever met a joyful complainer? No. It's the opposite, isn't it? So the Lord gets very upset when his people grumble and complain. How many know that life in the wilderness for Israel was very difficult? Make no mistake about it. It was no cakewalk for them. You and I have never tasted what they tasted. Amen. In that miserable place where they find themselves. So it was difficult. But what they needed to understand is that there was a divine reason for it. God was going to do a work in them in that situation. And understand that whatever you're going through right now, if you're, trusting in the Lord, he's going to take you through it. Amen. Because he's taking you out of Egypt and he's taking you into a promise. But that time between, amen, the coming out and the entering in can be very difficult, amen. But that's where we need to trust in the Lord and know that God's provision will be there for us. His comfort will be there for us. That God's direction, his counsel will be there for us. That God's going to see you through every situation because that's who he is. Israel was in a place they'd never been before. How many here are in a place you've never been before in your life? How many have realized that life is always changing? We want everything to be so predictable, but it's always changing. Why? Because God is at work doing something in us. He's producing in us steadfastness. Amen. He's creating in us a strong spirit. Hallelujah. So that we'll be able to stand in the evil day. No matter what comes our way, God is preparing us today for what happens tomorrow. Amen? So that no matter what happens, we're going to be able to stand. We're going to be able to overcome. Because we have learned in this wilderness, we've learned in the difficulties of day-to-day life, how to trust in the Lord, how to lean upon him for his ability, for his power in our lives. Amen? To help us through every situation. If he's helped us in the past, he'll help us in the future. David had to encourage himself in the Lord, amen, because he knew that God had been faithful to him, but he found himself in a place he'd never been before, and he didn't know what he was going to do, but he had to go back and reflect on the faithfulness of God throughout his life's journey and find courage, amen, to face what was coming next and know that his God would be faithful as he's always proven himself to be faithful. So 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, which is a type of water baptism and spirit baptism, by the way. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. With what? Most of them. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written down for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That would be you and I, the church today. Joy and thanksgiving are always connected. We need to practice, amen, giving thanks. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore, amen. Pray without ceasing, and in all things what? Give thanks. You know, the more you and I complain, the less joy we have. Yeah. You just don't, they don't mix. Complaining and joy don't mix. So we have to make a determination what we're going to focus on, what we're going to look at, what we're going to dwell on, what we're going to speak on, what we're going to sing about. Amen. Sing about the mercies of God. Sing about the goodness of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. That's what they sang, and God brought ambushes against their enemies, destroyed their enemies as they sang about the goodness of God. You see, praise can lift you up. Amen. Above yourself, above your circumstances, above your enemies. Thanksgiving and praise is huge, guys. Thanksgiving causes your joy to multiply. So here we are. Let's thank God for everything. Amen. Thank God for everything. Thank God for family. Amen. Health, food, clothing, home, spouse, children, etc. And I want to give you an opportunity. We have about, I don't know, let's take maybe 10 minutes and then we're going to go down and enjoy a fellowship meal together. But I want to see who wants to go for, who wants to give God thanks for something in your life? You want to just give, make it short, all right? All right. No long half-hour testimonies, just, okay.
Sometimes I look in the mirror and I am amazed, not at what I look like, of course, but what the Lord has done in my life. I mean, we all have a past, and we can all see that shadow of our past, that disease that was our life. And for me, I will always and forever be the grateful leper. Always. There's nothing that can happen in my life today that could diminish my joy from being taken from what my life used to be till today. There's no bad day in the kingdom.
Come on.
There cannot possibly be. It doesn't That's work good. That way. Because the worst day in your walk with Christ is better Come than on. The best day you could ever have without Him.
Yes. That is so good. Who else? Okay. This is Debbie.
I'm just thankful just for who Jesus is, for what He's done for us and dying for us and all the things that He has been faithful. He's always, always faithful. And I'm thankful for what He's done in my grandson's life and how He's rededicated his life. And he does truly never goes back on His promises and His word. Never.
Thank you, Lord.
And to claim all those promises and that He does give us the desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the Lord with all my heart.
Yeah, amen. Thankful for Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're making our way. Anybody?
Good morning, everybody. I am thankful.
This is B.
That my husband has cancer. I am thankful for this church because you put the joy back in my heart and you remind me God is faithful.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
I'm thankful for His Spirit. I am thankful for the trials that are laid before me because my God is going to triumph
Come on,
and
come
be glorified.
On. Yeah. Amen, sister. We love you.
I thank God for His faithfulness, too. And many of you have been praying for me and my eyes for quite some time. And God has come through. He is faithful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's been quite a while since I've even been able to read a piece of mail. Paula would have to read it to me, to write a check, to do many of those things that we take for granted. And today I can rejoice and thank God that I can pick up a piece of mail. I can read it now. I can do the things that I couldn't do before. You know, I didn't always thank God for my eyesight the way it was. But I realized something and been practicing that for quite some time now. Every day I thank Him for the healing that He's going to do.
Amen.
And He's going to finish. He's got a long ways to go yet, but He's faithful. He's going to finish restoring my full eyesight in Jesus' name.
Faith is a victory, brother. Yes, and he is a believer for sure. Okay, Marcy, and then pass it over to Omer. Okay. We don't miss anybody.
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day. No matter what little thing you give him, no matter what little thing you do, he gives it back tenfold.
Thank you,
and oh my goodness, the angels that he gave me to watch over me work overtime, but I'm so thankful. Thank God.
Amen.
So I will tell you what I am most thankful for, and that is the Bible.
Standing up.
The holy word of God that he actually gave us. I can't overemphasize the importance of reading every day. And yes, you're not going to understand every little aspect. And that's okay. Get those words planted in your heart. Wait for God. He says, wait on me. Wait on him, and he's going to reveal stuff to you. A lot of people don't know who God is. But if you read the Bible, you will start to understand. If you're seeking an entity, a face, this thing that is going to come to you and move things for you, that's not how it works. We are the hands and feet of God. We move in his power and in his presence. God is power. God is light. God is gravity. God is electricity. He is the creator of everything and the very power that holds everything together. The scientists can tell you, well, this is an atom. You got this nucleus and it's positively charged and there's the atoms, the electrons that fly around this nucleus. Ask them, what is the power that keeps those electrons flying around? They can't tell you that.
No.
But if you read the Bible and understand God is light, God is electricity, God is power, God is magnetism, all the unseen is God.
It all comes
just
out of
him. Just because you don't see him doesn't mean he's not there. If you put your hand in the electric socket, you're going to feel something that you didn't see. God is that power. He is with us
all
the time.
That would be a good object lesson, wouldn't it?
He sees through our eyes. He's with us always. God is great and powerful. Hallelujah.
Good word, brother. Amen. Who else? Who else had a hand up over here? Oh, Patty here.
For me, I'm learning again that every time, whether I'm working or I'm doing anything, if I come to a place where I can't figure it out or I don't know what to do, I just say, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
And he does.
Yeah.
You know, every time, there hasn't been a time. And I mean, I do some very complicated accounting and some very complicated computer systems, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And yet every time we come to a place where we don't know what to do, if we say, Lord, thank you for being here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You have the answer. And he does.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just nothing. You know,
so glad he's there.
You know, we can be. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say I'm thankful for is we really, I mean, I'm so thankful because, you know, I watch people and I'm thinking, the Lord has healed me of blindness. The Lord has healed me of deafness. The Lord has healed me of cancer. The Lord has healed me of incredible things. And for that, I'm grateful.
Amen. We're so glad you're with us today, too, sister. What a blessing you are.
God made it possible for us to go to the minister's meeting. And it was great. It was great fellowship. But the most dynamic thing that happened while we were there is the overseer's wife gave a message, 35-minute message on hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that everybody should hear.
Yeah.
It was dynamic.
Amen.
It explained hope. It gave you hope. There's no way a person could hear that and not have hope.
Amen. We serve the God of all hope, don't we? All right, who else? There we go. Carol. Okay.
I'm thankful that God is a God of new beginnings, fresh starts every day.
Amen.
And that brings the hope that you were referring to.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. Karen?
I am grateful that I can trust God in and through all things.
Yeah.
That he is unchanging, he's unwavering, he is steadfast.
Yes.
And he knows the beginning from the end.
Wow. That's good. Yeah. Somebody else? All set? Thank you, Jesus. That was wonderful. Hallelujah. And we didn't go into overtime. Now I know we all have many things that we can be thankful for. Let me just say something that I was thinking about this earlier, but I am thankful for you. I'm thankful for every one of you because you're my family. You know, we're family. And God has placed us in families, and he's brought us together for such a time as this. And I receive strength from you and help from you. And I trust it's likewise, and that we work together as a family to make sure that we're taking care of each other. And I appreciate all you guys do sometimes, even when things will slip past me and my notice, that you guys step in and that you minister to one another and you give each other calls. And we don't want to leave anybody behind. Amen. If you have a need, feel free to call on me. Okay. Anytime, except between the hours of, I'm kidding, but anytime, feel free to call. Okay. And I just thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. You know, I have real friends now in the kingdom. I mean, and actually people I can trust. That's so cool, isn't it? To have people you can really trust, you know, in your life. Hallelujah. We just stand. We'll have a prayer of just for blessing over the food. And let's have some time together, fellowship. We'll be back tonight at 6 if anybody would like to come. So, Bobbert, why don't you ask the Bobbert.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this glorious service that we got to enjoy, Lord, and got to enjoy your presence, Lord. We thank you so much for being so real in our midst today, Lord. And I pray your blessings on everybody that's here, Lord. And we pray blessings on the food we're about to eat. And we thank you so much for the food and everybody that's prepared it, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.